If I take out my hanky and I unleash a giant sneeze, how will you respond? Most of you got it. Thank you. What an odd practice, right? To say bless you, God bless you. I tried to study this week to see where that practice originated. You know, when someone sneezes, we say God bless you or bless you. And I found four different explanations, so I can't really tell you where it comes from, but they were all very old. A couple of them were nearly 2,000 years old, and even the others were more than 1,000 years old. It's an old practice. When someone sneezes, we bless them. Isn't that funny? This morning, I'm going to bless you, and you don't even have to sneeze. Is that all right? Is it okay if I bless you? I'm going to bless you today for four reasons. First of all, we need it, don't we? Some of us live in circumstances that are heavy, that weigh us down. We need God's blessing. I mean, it's easy sometimes, isn't it, in some of our work environments to be drawn into conversations that seem to drag us down into negative attitudes about everything, right? Are you ever in those conversations? I'll be in them tomorrow morning, right? We'll be complaining about Monday, right? Or this week, I know there's going to be some complaining about the weather, right? Why is it that it's easier to drag a conversation down than it is to point out the blessings of God, that today's a new day, or tomorrow's a new day, or that we get the blessing of God's presence or friendship? So we find ourselves, and I was convicted this week that I'm often a participant in some of those conversations where we just seem to focus on, you know, politics or the circumstances in the world, and it drags us down. So we need to have God's perspective. We need God to bless our lives and our circumstances. The second reason that I want to bless you today is because that's where we are in the letter. That's where we are in the study. We're in 1 Thessalonians, and if you have your Bibles, find 1 Thessalonians. We're going to finish the book, the letter, today. And in this letter, Paul finishes by blessing the congregation in Thessalonica. And so that's what we're going to do. I'm going to bless you, and I'm going to invite you to bless one another and learn from the way Paul blessed the congregation in Thessalonica. The third reason that I want to bless you today is because it's a prominent theme in Scripture. From the very beginning, God is a God who blesses. We go back to the first two chapters of Genesis. God blesses creation. God blesses His creatures. All through the Scriptures, God blesses. We've talked about Abraham. We did a series on Abraham and saw in Genesis 12 that God blessed Abraham in order to be a blessing to the world. So God shows us this pattern of blessing all the way through, even into Jesus, who in the most famous sermon ever given, the Sermon on the Mount, really helps us understand blessing. And in Matthew 5, Jesus starts to help us understand what true blessing is. He says, you know, he says to a people then and to a people today that we look at people who have a lot of wealth, and we say, wow, they must be blessed by God because they have a lot of possessions. And Jesus says, I bless you, those of you who are poor, because you depend on the Father and all of His riches from the kingdom of heaven for everything you need. Jesus looked at people then, and He looks at people today who say, you know, people whose circumstances are great, who don't have any health problems, who don't have any bad things in their life, they're always happy, they must be blessed. And Jesus comes and He says, I bless those of you who mourn because you receive comfort from the Father. He's near you. And Jesus comes to a people then and a people now who says, you know, the world looks at people with power and influence and they're on the TV or whatever, and we think, well, they must be blessed. And Jesus says, no, I bless you who are meek, who are trusting in the ways and the power of the Creator God. So Jesus taught us about blessing. It's an important concept for us to receive and to give to others. We're to be And this is my fourth reason. We're to be a blessing to others. We've talked about Abraham. We've used that line in Abraham in chapter 12. Blessed to be a blessing. So I want to bless you today, and I hope that you receive that. But I want to encourage you as you go from here to look for ways to bless other people. I know that we live in a world, and I'm guilty of this as well, that when we often walk past each other. We don't make eye contact. We don't see each other. I was sitting at Starbucks this morning. I'd like to say I was working on my sermon, but really I was waking up and blessing God for the sweet gift of the coffee bean. And this guy and his wife pull into the parking lot and get out of the car, and he goes, "Hey, how you doing? What's going on around here?" You know, and that startles us. But he started this conversation with me, and we had a nice long conversation. I know his name is Mike. His wife's name is Shelley. He now has my email address. Which might not have been a smart thing to do. But we had a nice conversation. I thought, you know, he blessed me because he saw me. He engaged with me as a human being. And he took interest in me. Maybe too much, now that I think about it. But I want to encourage you today, as you receive God's blessing, become a blessing to others. And I know that not all of us have that kind of personality, but we can still find subtle ways to touch another's life. Blessed to be a blessing. So, if you have your Bibles and you found 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, it's the very end of the letter. It's on, if you have the Bible in front of you, it's on page 826. And it's a prayer. And I want to make that really clear. When I bless you, it's a prayer. It's a prayer of blessing. And it's important for us to understand that. And if we had more time, we would talk about prayer. But prayer is not magic. So when I bless you today, it's not magic. Magic is this idea that if we say the right words or we use the right actions, if you touch my magic hanky, you will receive some kind of blessing. That would be kind of gross, wouldn't it? Or if you pass my email on to somebody, you're going to get... That's not how it works. It's a prayer. Now, a prayer is more than a wish, because I do more than wish, because when we pray, we're engaging the personal God, a God who is powerful, a God who is personal. And when we pray, when I pray for you, I'm interceding for you. I'm aligning myself with God's will and praying that you and your life will also be aligned with God's will, right? Jesus said to pray this way, "My Lord, your kingdom come, your will be done in our lives, in our world, as it always is in heaven." So prayer is about aligning ourselves and aligning the circumstances around us with God's will. It never violates free will, right? We have to recognize that. God still allows free will, but prayer engages a personal and powerful God and releases God's power into another's life or another's circumstance. So that's what I want to do today. It's not a magic spell. It's a prayer to a personal and powerful God on your behalf. And as you live your life and bless other people, I want to invite you to do that as well. So it's a prayer of blessing. It's at the end of the letter, very end, and it's very common in the letters in the Bible for them to end with a blessing. It's a practice that Christians have picked up. And for 2,000 years, we often end our times of worship with a blessing. You'll often hear me or you'll hear Dave or somebody give a spoken blessing, a benediction. It's a Latin for like good words, good speaking. We speak good, we speak blessing into your lives, partly because it's the way Paul wrote his letters. And it was common and customary in that day, as it is in ours. Like, we often end letters with words of blessing or thanks. And so this letter ends with a benediction. So we often end our times with benediction. And, you know, even when you have guests over to your house, you do this, don't you? As they're going out the door at the end of the evening, you know, there's often this time of speaking good into life. Have a good night, or I bless you, I love you, or whatever. There's times we speak good into our lives. So that's what I want to do for you today, and I want you to carry that with you as you go. It's the end of the book, and so that's why we often do it at the end of the service. And I was reminded of a speaker I heard one time talking about how important this was to him. He said he didn't, this is a professor at Calvin College. He said he didn't grow up in a Christian home, didn't grow up in a home that blessed him. His parents did not bless him as he was growing up. And he married into a family that didn't bless him. So he spent most of his life really not receiving the blessing. And some of us remember the book that was out years ago. It's a great book called The Blessing that talked about the importance of speaking blessing into each other's lives, especially parents to children. And this guy, he said, you know, I never experienced that. And I became a Christian. I started going to church. And at the end of the church service, these people would stand and they would speak blessing into my life. He goes, it changed my life. He goes, I didn't care if I was late for the music, the sermon. I just had to be there for the blessing at the end. I just had to be there every week to hear that person speak blessing into my life. And I realized, wow, we have an incredible privilege, not just those of us up here, but all of us, to speak blessing into one another's lives. To speak truth, God's truth of who God is and who they are and how much God loves them. Speak that into their life. What an honor. So, chapter 5, verse 23 begins, may God himself. And I pause there because I want you to recognize I am speaking it, but it's God who blesses. I'm a conduit. And we were designed by God to be conduits, not containers of God's blessing. That was really profound. I want to say that again. We were designed by God to be conduits, not containers. Anytime you find someone that talks about simply receiving God's blessing and they don't talk about passing it on, they have an incomplete understanding of God. It's never about just receiving. It's always about receiving in order to pass that blessing on. Now, we get blessed in the process, right? Some of you have experienced this, where you've blessed someone else, and it brings you such joy and fulfillment. That's wonderful. That's a byproduct. But God blesses us in order to be a blessing to others. So it's God. God is using me. I'm going to hope, I'm going to pray. I've been praying that He will use me to bless you and you to bless others. May God Himself, the God of peace. So Paul clarifies the character quality of God. This is a God of peace. Now, I've preached in the past a couple times about shalom. That's the same concept. Now, shalom is Hebrew. This word is Greek because it's in the New Testament. But it's the same idea. Shalom, or the biblical understanding of peace, takes our minds back to the creation when God put everything together and made everything function in the way that He intended it to. Peace is about reconciling all things to Himself. So we start with a reconciliation between ourselves and God, reconciliation between ourselves and our own souls, reconciliation between ourselves and others, and reconciliation even between ourselves and the created order. Peace, or shalom, is this idea of living an integrated life, a whole life that's designed to function the way God intended it to function. And you understand, we all know, we live in a fractured world. And so it's only by the grace of God, the power of God, that reconciliation happens. But that's the blessing. God, the God of peace, the God of reconciliation, the God of wholeness. This is what God is up to. And then, here comes the blessing proper. God, the God of peace, will sanctify you through and through. Now, this sanctification word is a big word. It's an important word. But I want to tie it to peace, because sanctification is like peace. It's when life functions the way God intended for it to function. Sanctification is the process of becoming who we were created to be. Sanctification is the word that we also get holiness, purity, righteousness. And see, when we come to Jesus and we recognize our need for Him and we repent of our sins, at that moment, we become, in God's eyes, holy. We become sanctified in God's eyes, purified. But that initiates a process of living out what God recognizes us to be. So life for us is a process. We come to Jesus, he says, you are completely forgiven. You are completely holy. But we begin a process then of being purified, being sanctified through and through. So it has a goal. The goal is Christ-likeness. The goal is purity. And it's God's power working through us. And this concept of through and through implies process. It's a process. It's a process of purification. A year ago, Kim and I put in a fish pond. And Kim did all of the research. She studied the filtration system and what plants to put in and what fish to put in. And there's this whole process that goes into a fish pond. And so all I did was sort of fill it up with water. And then I wondered why the water got green. Like, what? I didn't think we were supposed to have green water. And she said, just be patient. Let the filtration system work. It's a process. The water has to continue to run through all of the filters and let the filtration system work. And you know what? She was right. I know that doesn't surprise any of you. But over time, the water began to get clearer as it ran through the filtration process. That's our lives. We come to Jesus and we go, hey, how come I'm forgiven, but I still live this way? And God says, be patient. You got to run your life consistently through my word. You got to run your life consistently through my love, my people, my presence. You have to let the process work. Be sanctified through and through. Let the process work. God's up to something. And you know what he's up to? God's up to making you someone new. I know that we want the blessing to like make all of our circumstances better. We want the blessing to make our bank account suddenly double. We want the blessing to suddenly take away all the physical pain. But the blessing is about what God is doing in us, purifying us, filtering us through his presence and his power and his word to help transform us into the people that he's created to be. And then we begin to look a lot like Jesus. So may God, the God of peace, sanctify you through and through. May your whole spirit, soul, and body be kept blameless. And I love this concept, the whole, all of you, all parts of you. Don't get hung up on the three words, spirit, soul, and body, because in another place, Paul only used two words, and another place, Jesus used four words, you know, mind, soul, love the Lord your God with all your mind, heart, soul, mind, and strength. So it's not about the number. The point of Scripture is not to help us analyze each part. The point of Scripture is to help us realize that every part of us needs to run through the filtration system. Our thoughts, our actions, our attitudes, our relationships, every part of us is running through God's filtration system to purify us and keep us blameless until the day of the Lord Jesus Christ. And Paul mentioned that in chapter 3. We talked about it. Jesus will return, and God is up to something in us to prepare us for his return, to purify us as his bride, to help us experience the wholeness of that relationship when he comes. And then I love this promise, the one who has called you is faithful, and he will do it. Now, Paul, throughout this letter, has repeated this concept of calling. In chapter 1, he says, each of you is chosen. In chapter 2, he says, we've been called to his kingdom. In chapter 4, it says, we are called to holy living. So God is continuously calling us. And the one who calls us, God, the one who has made us and redeemed us, he is faithful. And I'm reminded of that great verse in Philippians. Paul says, I'm confident that the one who began a good work in you will be faithful to finish it, to complete it until the day of Christ Jesus. God is up to something, and he won't stop until you're complete. And then Paul, in the middle of this prayer, Paul inserts this request. Brothers and sisters, pray for us. Now, I think this is interesting because Paul's praying a blessing, but in the middle of it, he says, I'm praying for you, but would you also pray for me? So prayer works both ways. Each one of us has access to God. We can bless one another. It's not just pastors blessing others or more mature blessing less mature. Every person can be involved in praying, interceding for one another, speaking words of blessing, praying God's blessing into each other's lives. And then I love this line, greet one another with a holy kiss, or greet all of God's people with a holy kiss. Now, don't anybody get up and walk out, because I'm not going to ask you to kiss one another. This is not the kiss cam. And I'm not going to ask you, so you can just relax. Some of you were looking for the exits. You may know that this was a customary greeting. I mean, even think today of people in certain cultures, Middle Eastern cultures, where they greet one another and they kiss on one cheek and kiss on the other cheek, and it's this warm welcome. It's this sense of family, not the Michael Corleone Godfather kind of kiss. This is a kiss of warmth, a kiss of love, a kiss that identifies you as family. Now, think about how radical this is. Paul says this four times in his letters. Four different times he says, greet one another with a holy kiss. And the churches were full of people who in the world would never greet one another that way. Because the churches were full of Jews and Gentiles. In the world, in their world, they would never greet one another this way. But in the church, Christ breaks down barriers between races. And he says, greet everybody, greet one another this way. See each other as brother and sister. In the world, slaves and masters would never have a relationship of equality. But Paul says, slaves and masters, greet one another with a holy kiss. Male and female. In that culture, males were superior. Females were often sadly seen as subhuman. There would never be this kind of equality. And Paul says, greet one another. He would say to us today, I don't care what your occupation is, greet one another. I don't care how much you own or possess, greet one another. I don't care whether you're young or old, greet one another. He would say, I don't care if you're a Dodgers fan or an Angels fan, greet one another. Love one another in the family, because you are family. This practice of greeting one another became a common practice in the early churches, and we still practice it in many of our churches today. Now, our cultural greeting is not necessarily a kiss. Most of us are more comfortable with a handshake, right? Or a fist bump, or a hug. Now, be careful with the hugs. I mean, some of you are huggers and some of you aren't, so you have to kind of navigate that carefully when you start hugging. But if you're a hugger, that's a great way to greet one another in brotherly, sisterly love, you know. Or maybe, you know, maybe we right? Greet one another. And I love this. So I want to encourage you, greet one another. Risk your germs, getting their germs. Love one another. It's worth the risk to bless one another. It's one of the ways we bless each other, is by acknowledging, by seeing each other, right? Like Mike and Shelley saw me at Starbucks. They saw me. They gave value to my life. And I'm still concerned. But we'll see what happens. But we look at it, we see each other, we love each other, we acknowledge each other. It's been a character quality of the church to connect on a human level. And then another way we bless each other, Paul says, hey, read this letter to the other churches, which is how we got the Bible, right? These letters circulated and Christians said, hey, this is good stuff. Other Christians should read this. That's how we got the Bible. But there's also this sense of blessing. Like, these are truths that we want to pass on to other people. So read this letter to other people. And then finally, he says, he closes the letter with one final blessing. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you. And I love that word grace. I wish we could spend more time on that. Maybe we will someday. But when we think of God's grace, think of it in more than just a conversion experience or salvation, your initial salvation. Grace, God's grace is everything God has, all of God's resources. Everything that God has, His truth, His holiness, His justice, everything. And Paul says, I want you to experience all of God's resources for your life. May the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ be with you. A while back, there was a movie that came, a book and a movie that came out called The Help. You remember The Help? And it's a story of 1960s Jackson, Mississippi, and a group of black domestic servants that work in the homes of wealthy white people and often raise the children of these wealthy white families. And in many cases, the children were not being blessed. The children were not being loved by their parents. And so one of the precious parts of this story is about one of the black domestic servants, Adi, who takes it upon herself to bless the children that she's entrusted with. And in one of the, you know, one of the tender scenes, Adi gets down next to the little girl that she's entrusted to raise. And she holds her close. And she cradles her face, or she holds her in her lap and says, "You is kind. You is smart. You is important." And this morning, I want you to hear the Creator God, through Jesus Christ, come to you, cradle you in His arms, and bless you, speak truth into your life. You are loved. You are holy. You are precious. Let God speak to you. May God Himself, the God of peace, may God Himself, the God of peace, sanctify you through and through. May your whole spirit, soul, and body be kept blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. The one who calls you, He is faithful. And He will do it. Pray for one another. Greet one another. Share the truth with one another. And may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you. Amen.